got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Even though it's so screwed up, I am a fool for this city. Welcome to our big lead this hour. By the way, before I get to the big lead stories, I have a little confession to make.
What's that?
Well, you know, it's very difficult for me to change my mind on things. I'm a man.
That is true.
I'm a man of very firm convictions.
That is true.
And I am changing my mind on something that I've stated publicly many times before.
What's that?
So, as you know, I had two tremendous childhood crushes.
Yes.
Goldie Hawn, who, when I had her on the show, said that I would have had a shot with her because, and then she giggled and said he was cute as she was hanging up the phone.
I heard that, yeah. Yes.
And then Olivia Newton-John, who I bizarrely asked the same question. I have to ask this. As I said, I've been happily married for 29 years. But if you and I had met 35 years ago, based on the conversation we've had, do you think I would have had a chance with you?
gosh, 35 years ago, where was I? I don't even know what I was doing 35 years ago. I was probably married. Myself, they're probably
okay,
not.
Okay, if we had met 40 years ago then. Come on. I need this, Olivia.
Well, of course you would have had a chance.
I would have had a chance with you. I've been waiting 40 years to hear that from you, Olivia. Okay, so.
Well, let's face it, you would not be nearly as happy as you are today. I mean, you have an amazing wife,
yes,
beautiful family. Absolutely. Just, everything happened the way it was supposed
to happen.
I just
needed to know, though. And so anyway, but here's what I've changed my mind on, because I've often said that Olivia Newton-John, the sexiest line in music history was when she kind of growled the word kick.
Never had time to lay back, kick your shoes off, close your eyes.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, I've always said that's the single sexiest sung line,
yes,
in music history.
And now you've changed your mind.
I've changed my mind.
So what has
surpassed
that one?
So I was here for a couple hours after the show last night. I had some production to do, some other stuff. Traffic was horrible last night. Horrible.
It's probably going to be horrible this afternoon.
Oh, so I'm just inching my way home. I get off the freeway. I'm taking surface streets. It's raining outside. I'm talking to a friend, you know, connecting with old friends because it's such a long drive. And I've finished a couple of conversations and I decide to listen to a little music.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a line sexier than kick your shoes off.
Mm.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. It's the 1978 Olivia Newton-John song, A Little More Love.
Let a little more love bring a happy ending. Let a little more love make it right. Let a little more love make it right.
Okay, now, coming up, I want you to hear how she says the word where.
Okay.
In Where Did My Innocence Go?
Okay.
Just listen to this.
Oh, no.
Where did my innocence go?
It's the second one. The second where.
I heard it.
Oh, I thought she was going to pronounce it like you and your W's.
No, the first one was kind of more breath. Where? But then where? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I think maybe just your taste has changed as you're... Have you aged?
No. It's pouring, you know what it is?
It's pouring down rain. It's pitch black out. I've been crawling in traffic. Listen to this. Listen to this. And plus the line. Where did my innocence go? Okay, come on. It's over. It's over.
It's because
I don't agree.
Employed...
I think Kick is better.
Yeah, she employed the same technique, though, that she uses with Kick.
Well.
Kick is way better.
I don't know. I was just in a bad way with the traffic and the
nightmare.
But I
love that you were listening to Olivia again.
Well, she happened to pop on. So anyway.
When you listen to those in the car, do you sing? Do you just move? How do you listen to that in the car? I'm trying to picture it.
Well, this is a whole other topic.
Because I definitely sing. I probably look ridiculous.
Songs from the 70s, I'm losing all my vocal elasticity. And I told you guys, if I ever start sounding like Don Imus, I want you to get me off the air and make me leave the business.
Okay.
I try singing with songs that I sang at the top of my lungs back in the 70s in my Plymouth Duster that I had on cassette. And, I used to be able to do the high Daryl Hall part of Hall & Oates songs.
Really?
I can't, I have no vocal elasticity. I can't hit any notes anymore. So I love, yes, I try
you
to try sing,
to.
But it's awful.
But you put the energy and effort
everything.
Into it while
I
you
put
drive.
Everything into it. Yes.
We should do
carpool karaoke. I think not.
I think that'd be great.
Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
The most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. Sound Transit continues its unbelievable ripoff of taxpayers in this region. Sound Transit CEO Peter Rogoff, you may recall, he just got an 11% pay raise in a contract he signed last month, up to $364,000 a year. But the Seattle Times is reporting that Rogoff is also likely to get a $16,000 bonus. And why is that? Well, because he has successfully been able to rip off the nation's taxpayers, just as he's been ripping off the region's taxpayers. A 10-member executive committee, which includes Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine. Now, I want you to think about this. Remember when Rogoff was going to host Dow Constantine's fundraiser at Rogoff's Queen Anne Mansion? Before the ethics board said that's not allowed. But Dow Constantine sits on the board that decides whether Rogoff should get a bonus. And along with all the members of this committee, they met behind closed doors with no public comment and came out and said, let's give him a $16,000 bonus because he got a federal grant. So he was able to rip off the nation's taxpayers. Sound Transit is billions of dollars over budget, years behind schedule on his watch. And for ripping us off for billions, for mismanaging billions in overruns, he gets a bonus. And all these small town mayors that they've put on the Sound Transit executive board, what a bunch of rubber stamp lackeys they are. There's not one critical voice there. And so the ripoff continues by the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
I told you yesterday about the mental gymnastics of liberals. And it was in the context of college kids who were asked about the song Baby It's Cold Outside. And if you didn't hear it yesterday, I'll play just a little bit. They were asked, should the song be banned because of the lyrics?
Do you think it's misogynist in the era that we live in today to sing it?
I think it definitely is.
I think it needs to be adapted. You know, it's a totally different cultural time. We view a lot of things differently. So some of the lyrics are very suggestive. And you listen to it multiple times, you can definitely get a sort of vibe from the song that's just unacceptable.
Okay. So, and there's like a minute of college kids saying, yes, we should ban the song. So then the interviewer asked them, what about rap and country music that's misogynistic today? Should all of that be banned as well?
Debating in her own mind.
But also?
Listen to rap.
All the rap and country music off your iTunes, because that might be misogynistic also?
Listen to rap.
Country music, rock music, anything that might be taken as misogynistic?
I definitely see that side, but like, I don't know. This sounds bad, but like, that song only comes out once a year, like that one time of the year, whereas rap is kind of like all
problematic year round.
And so maybe it should be phased out a little bit more, but like, I also listen to a lot of rap, so there's that.
And with rap, it's not acceptable, but it's kind of a different kind of lifestyle.
And so the misogyny is a little more acceptable because it's not Christmas time.
Yeah, it's a very good way of pointing it out.
Everything is a bit subjective to that audience.
So anyway, so it just shows the mental gymnastics of liberals who are saying, ban Baby It's Cold Outside, but rap's fine. Misogynistic rap in particular is fine because we listen to it. And that's the kind of cognitive dissonance you have to have to be a liberal, a progressive these days. Okay, you want more of that? So on CNN yesterday, Democrat Senator from Oregon, Jeff Merkley, he went on. And he was asked by Allison Camerota, who asked tough questions, because Barack Obama wanted a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Hillary Clinton supported a wall. And so she asked the Democrat Senator, why did Democrats want a wall when Obama was president, and now they're fighting tooth and nail? Listen to how bizarre this answer is.
How is what President Trump is asking for different from what Congress wanted in 2006 that then Barack Obama supported, Hillary Clinton supported, Nancy Pelosi supported, which was fencing? Call it fencing, call it a wall. Why do we object, meaning you guys, now to a border wall when border fencing was considered by Democrats to be successful then?
Yeah, border security, including fencing, is, I've been down on the border, I've seen the fencing, you can see through it. In fact, the border guard itself says a concrete wall is an absolute mistake. They say the border guard needs to be able to see what's going on the other side, that the wall doesn't stop any bad.
Did he get this? So a fence you can see through, but a wall you cannot. And by the way, he's a stinking liar, too, because I have in my hand from DHS.gov that says DHS is committed to building the wall and building the wall quickly. In fact, we've never built a wall this high. Once funding was provided, the wall will be built and it will work. Okay, but this senator said, well, a fence was okay because you can see through a fence. That's the mental gymnastics of liberals right there. If the fact is, they were okay with a border barrier back in the day when Obama was president, but they're against it because Trump's president. It has nothing to do with the security of this country. It has nothing to do with keeping people out. And I also have, I got a couple others along this line. Very liberal website, BuzzFeed. They have one of the most bizarre stories I've ever read today. Headline, America has 14,000 golf courses and 6,000 refugees waiting at the border. And in the article, there's one line. The fact is, there's abundance on this side of the border. And not just an abundance of golf courses. And the writer of this piece actually says, one illustration of our country's wealth is the number of golf courses it boasts. There are astoundingly 14,794 golf courses in the United States, more than twice the number of the roughly 6,000 individuals currently in Tijuana seeking asylum. Yes, there are enough golf courses in the United States for every adult and child asylum seeker in Tijuana to have their own entire golf course, and there would still be nearly 9,000 left over. The mental gymnastics of liberals will give every migrant who wants to sneak into this country their own golf course. And that proves what? It's really bizarre. And then I have a fake news update. Washington Post headline. And it's a very sad story. 7-year-old migrant girl taken into Border Patrol custody dies of dehydration and exhaustion. And then the first paragraph essentially says that. The second paragraph, the child's death is likely to intensify scrutiny of detention conditions at Border Patrol stations. And then in the fifth paragraph, it said that the girl had reportedly not eaten or consumed water for several days as she and her father were moving across Mexico. It's a very sad story. But how in Lord's name is that the fault of the U.S. government? Her father brings her on a death march across Mexico so he could try to illegally come into this country with her. And the Washington Post makes that sound like that's the fault of the U.S. government. And they even say in the article that they don't know what kind of medical treatment she got after she was taken into custody by Border Patrol, but she had gone at least 4 days without food and water under the watchful eye of her father on the other side of the border. And the Washington Post tries to blame that or pin that on the Border Patrol with a unbelievably misleading headline. It is the mental gymnastics of liberals. And then one final story I have for you in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yeah, I just got the Seattle Times has a headline today. And I know that few in the media are willing to speak honestly and bluntly about things, but I can answer a question that is in a Seattle Times headline. Greater representation can improve outcomes for students of color. So why are 89% of Washington teachers white? And then they have this big, long article about how we have to do better and have to have more teachers of color and how teachers of color will improve the outcome for students of color. And the question persists, why are 89% of Washington teachers white? But they don't answer the question. But I can. First of all, you'd have to know, and this statistic is not available that I could find, but what percentage of college graduates in Washington State are white? Because, and I don't know the answer, but if it varies greatly from that, then you have to analyze. So why would there be a variance? If, say, 70% of the college grads are white, but 89% of teachers are white. And the answer is, for students of color, and they're often referred to in our high school and college systems as underrepresented kids. I'll just give you the University of Washington. They have a program called MESA that puts underrepresented kids, minority kids, into STEM programs, science and technology. And I'll tell you why. And this is where you got to be honest about stuff like this. First of all, the largest minority in our college is Asians. They don't go into teaching because they tend to go into much higher paying professions. Doctors, lawyers, there are many, many of them. For other minorities, industries love having minority college grads. And so science and technology, they have specific programs to reach out to them, like the MESA program at the University of Washington for STEM. They have a program at the Foster School of Business called Young Execs of Color that tries to attract kids of color into the business school. They have a program called STARS, which is an engineering program only for underrepresented kids. Other industries love having minority, underrepresented students. And so the vast majority of them go into those programs. Industries try to pull them out. The Asian kids try to go into higher paying stuff. And you're left with only 11% of teachers being students of color who have graduated from college. That's the answer. They didn't give the answer in the Times article. I will. That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, we're going to check the news, and then on a Friday, we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up next. Sean. Sean! What day is today?
Oh, it's Wednesday. Hump day. No, it's Friday.
Sean.
What day is today?
Wow.
Hey, don't scare me.
Wow.
The thing is, I always forget the top of the hour bob hat thing, and then I always drool with anticipation for the bottom of the hour dead mouse.
Right, and I remember the
you
top.
You remember and the fog hat, and you forget the dead mouse.
And I apparently think it's Wednesday. I'm completely sober.
Dear goodness.
I think it was because of his, what day is it, Sean?
Yeah.
And that sounds like the what day is it Wednesday thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, we don't have time to fix it. Let's just get to our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
No,
right. Yeah.
Week. Jeez. What's going on in there? A few days ago, President Trump's personal attorney was sentenced to 3 years in prison. How do you trust the news when you hear hyperbole like this on MSNBC?
Number three.
Look, we're at this moment in time right now where we have enough information to sit and wonder, might this be the greatest crime in American history?
No. All right, on CNN, how do you trust networks like CNN when they drool over something like this?
Number two.
At that now famous Oval Office meeting.
That you should not have a Trump shutdown. You have them if you want to have a Trump shutdown.
There was a lot of shade thrown, but when Nancy Pelosi put on shades for exactly 5 seconds, that became the moment her fans immortalized. Pelosi like a rock star. That look when you just got finished manhandling a man baby. The new power suit for women. Red coat, sunglasses, nerves of steel.
Wow, they love Nancy Pelosi because she put on a pair of sunglasses. And at number one, Jay Inslee says that he wants $1.1 billion to save the whales. Of course, earlier this year, Jay Inslee went on national TV and said that Washington State has the best weed in the country. And a couple of listeners sent this to me. They said, you know, Jay Inslee has fully morphed into Cheech and Chong.
Number one.
Save the whales.
We share so much with the earth. When we save them from pollution, we save ourselves. We pay to save what we love. We love our orchids. We're gonna toe up to the mark, and we're gonna pay to save that. We love all those things. I'm proposing a $1.1 billion project for the critical salmon that orchids need. So unless we intervene aggressively and quickly, we could witness the demise of this iconic symbol of the state of Washington. We got the best weed in the United States.
Our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign is next. Stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Just felt like singing because I'm about to head off into my weekend. But before I do, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Oh, today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. A high school art teacher has been fired for letting an 18-year-old student borrow her camera to take topless pictures of another 17-year-old girl in the class. 46-year-old teacher Karen Hutchinson, she loaned her camera to this 18-year-old girl to take topless pictures of the 17-year-old classmate for a project on the female form. Then she locked the storeroom they were using to make sure they were not disturbed. The teacher then downloaded the photos and emailed them to one of the girls from her own account so the school's IT staff would not see them. The pictures were included in the student's portfolio. But some boys at the school also saw them when they were pinned to some online board. The teacher said she thought the model was also 18, but the teacher admits she did not maintain professional boundaries. It's just unbelievable how stupid some teachers are. Today's science story number two, a Virginia French teacher has been fired because he refused to use a transgender student's new pronoun. Now, this is at a public high school, which is a critical element in the story, because I think the topless photo teacher should have been fired. There's no way that this guy should be fired in the United States of America. So the school board said the teacher did not violate a specific policy, but simply refused to a demand from the transgender student. The teacher is Peter Vlaming. He's a married father of four. By all accounts, he's very well liked by his students. In fact, 100 kids at the high school staged a walkout last week to protest his firing from West Point High School. He had taught there for the last 7 years. So the teacher met with the student and the student's parents. The kid is a biological girl who identifies as a boy. And the teacher said, I'll use your new boy name in class, but I'll avoid feminine pronouns, but I'm not going to use he or him to reference you. And the teacher cited his Christian faith as a reason. Now, you can disagree with the teacher all you want, but this is the United States of America. And, you know, in Genesis, it says God created man and woman. And if a Christian says, I don't believe that a human can change their mind about their gender, the gender, you know, according to, you know, the doctrine of my faith, gender is determined by God, which is what it says in the book of Genesis. And as I've told you many, many times, I couldn't care less what some adult wants to identify as, male or female. None of my business. However, I do have certain boundaries. And the one that I cite most often is the man and woman down in the Portland area. And she got pregnant. And all the news media, because the woman identifies as a male, they said, gay couple are having a biological baby. And they used male pronouns to describe the pregnant person. And I'm not going to do that. Because to be pregnant, you have to have a uterus. To have a uterus, you have to be a woman. And I'm not going to just say something that is absolutely just factually incorrect. And then when, you know, if it impacts other people, there have been boys who have won girls' state track championships back in Connecticut. There have been men who win the Women's World Track Cycling Championship just a couple of months ago. I'm not going to call those people girls and women when they're, you know, choice is impacting a competitive environment where they have a huge biological, physiological advantage. And it's my right as a person who's protected by the First Amendment to choose not to engage in the game playing that so many in the media feel compelled to do. Now, again, if somebody wants to identify as the opposite gender and it doesn't impact anybody else, I couldn't care less. And I'm happy to call them whatever they want. But I'm not going to call a pregnant person a man. And I'm not going to call a boy who's dominating biologically, physiologically in girls' sporting events. I'm not going to call that person her, she, because it impacts other people. So anyway, the teacher, but and then let's get back. So for me, it's more, you know, about biology, reality. For this teacher, it's about his Christian faith. So let me tell you what happened as he got fired. So he said, I'll use your new name. I just won't use pronouns because that conflicts with my Christian faith. So last week, the student was wearing virtual reality goggles in the hallway and was about to run into a wall. The teacher saw what was about to happen and just blurted out, don't let her run into the wall. Well, the girl's parents heard about the incident, heard that he said, don't let her run into the wall. And the parents went to administration, and administration has now fired the teacher. He was trying to protect the kid in a safety situation. But here's the bottom line, and this is why it's critical that happened in a public school. Because the United States government cannot tell us how to speak and how to think. Just as they cannot tell an adult male, you can't be a woman. Because the government has no business in that. But by the same token, they can't tell somebody how to interpret that and how to speak about it. So it's just, it's crazy. And it continues with the final story in today's Sign.
I just got back from
a brand new poll has been asking millennials how to bring Santa into more modern times. And according to this poll, some of the things that they should do to rebrand Santa is to consider making Santa either female or transgender. 20% of respondents said Santa should have tattoos. 18% said the red and white iconic suit should be replaced with skinny jeans. And 22% said Santa should ditch the sleigh in exchange for a flying car. And forget cookies. 21% said Santa should go on a diet as well. A graphic design company collected responses from more than 4,000 people to find out how to just bring Santa into modern times. And another one of the suggestions, as I said, make Santa either female or gender neutral. Love that idea. Why should we stick with the convention of Santa Claus, for crying out loud? All of this is today's Sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for this week. Thank you to Seahawks coach Pete Carroll for coming on with us. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. I will see you Sunday morning, 10 a.m., for our Seahawks pregame coverage as the Hawks take on the 49ers here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. The Ron Dodd Show is coming up next. Have a great weekend.
The big jolly man in the bright red suit, with his sleigh all full of loot. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Back home, folks. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.